Konnichiwa.
Yep, exactly, exactly. He was really determined and wanted to be a monk.
So you were a Buddhist at one time?
Yes, I was.
I don't know if you know Sheikh Hussein Yi. He also was a Buddhist at
one
time.
Yes, I know
him. Did you ever meet him?
Yes, yes.
You started thinking about that at the age of 14. What triggered it?
Buddhism, which I wanted once to be a monk, those believers in the same religion fight against each other. So what kind of religion is that? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. One who gave me the Mus'haf, the copy of the Quran, and then told me to think by yourself, that was the father.
We got a Muslim, one who has submitted to the will of God. That's what a Muslim is, all the way from Japan. Don't get caught up with just the word here, thinking like, oh, Muslim, terrorist, Arab. No, this is a man who at the young age of 14, he wanted to know why he was created, where he was going when he's going to die, and what was he living for. And he went from being a Buddhist and seeking the truth, because that what was closest to him in his vicinity, to actually finding, connecting with some Muslims and being gifted a Quran, to being here with us here on the Dean Show. We'll be right back with our brother from Japan. MashaAllah, how things in Japan?
Alhamdulillah, the things here regarding to COVID is getting settled little by little. Yes, people are start living like previously. Of course, with all of them are wearing masks, of course.
Konnichiwa, is that how you say it?
Oh yes, for daytime, yes.
For daytime. How do you translate peace be with you, assalamu alaikum, in Japanese?
Minasan ni heian ga arimasu youni.
Alhamdulillah. Tell us, what really struck me about your story was that at such a young age, 14. I mean, we say young age, but many times, you know, when you go back in history, you see that young men at that age, they were totally different. They weren't stuck just playing Xbox all day, you know, stuck in the basements, many just doing things that they shouldn't be doing and not even reflecting about, why am I here? What's my purpose? What am I living for? You started thinking about that at the age of 14. What triggered that?
I thought that's very normal or natural thing for anyone, any young people who are the age of, you know, privilege, to ponder upon, why am I here? What am I living for? It is so special.
It is, right? Isn't it? But don't you find it odd that many people, like you say that, okay, that you find it, that's a natural question to ask. You'd want to ask, but many people, do you find it odd that many people, they just...
Answer for that, which I thought of, is that because, you know, reaching to that answer is very difficult. Mm-hmm. So people just, you know, tell themselves, forget about it, then, you know, go after the joys.
Uh-huh. And then you talk about that you thought that answer was because it was close to home and the majority religion, is that right, was Buddhism? So did you go towards becoming a Buddhist at one point?
Yep, exactly, exactly. He was really determined and wanted to be a monk.
So you were a Buddhist at one time?
Yes, I was, yeah. Before embracing Islam, yes.
So tell me, is it true that, I remember, I don't know if you know Sheikh Hussein Yi, he also was a Buddhist at
yes,
one time.
I know
Did
him.
You ever meet him?
Yes, yes.
MashaAllah. When I interviewed him one time, we were talking about this. We went into Buddhism and he talked about Buddha himself. What's his actual name?
The Gautama.
Yes. He talks about possibly that he might have been a prophet of Allah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, possible. And then Buddhist people would be happy when they hear that. But many of them, misunderstand if some Muslim tells that Gautama Siddhartha or Buddha might be a prophet, they end up, you know, convincing themselves, okay, then I'm fine to, you know, keep being.
No. Yeah, that's the same thing when you look at the true message of Jesus. Isa alayhi salam, Moses, Musa alayhi salam. When you go to the core of their message, it was Tawheed, pure monotheism, calling people to be Muslims, those who submit to the will of God and practicing Islam, submission to the will of God. So when you studied his life, is there any connection with what people are doing today, actually worshiping him, and or have they gone far away from his core message?
It's totally opposite to what he preached for. He never, taught people to worship me.
It's kind of what we see like in Christianity. We don't find, I mean, this is all respect. This is all with all due respect to our Christian friends and
In
neighbors.
fact, you see the very interesting history of the Buddhism statues. They start with the footprints, the footprints. Then gradually the ankle and the knees, and it gradually completes the statue.
Well, this is amazing because when you go deep into what we have left of the Bible, you see that nowhere ever did Esau, at least, Jesus, peace be upon, ever say that I'm God, worship me. So similarly, when you look here, same thing. You don't find what we have today in modern day Buddhism, huh? So this is the interesting thing also that you had, like most had, a very negative image of Islam. Talk to us about that.
Yes, well, because all the while I was teenagers, late teenagers, all the news which comes through the TVs and so on was like the news of the war between Iraq and Iran, and the Iraqi war, whatever, those all those horrible aggressive news about the Muslims. So anyone who don't go deep into the realities behind the scenes, they end up, concluding themselves, oh, they are very, violent people and fanatic to their religions and so on. That's how I was as well.
Same thing. Was this b before 9/11 or after?
Before a lot before 9/11. Yes.
So this was even before 9/11.
Yes.
Now, what was like? I mean, we know the media, a lot of them here, but was it the same? Are they just parroting the same thing that the media here in certain parts of the world? The same thing in Japan? They were spitting the negative image.
Media in Japan is like a copy of the media West.
Same thing.
Yeah, very, very similar. It's almost the same.
But what was kicking it off before 9/11? What were they pushing out before 9/11? Give us some examples of things that you heard about Islam that obviously weren't true.
So as I mentioned, the example of the war between Iraq and Iran, it's a war between the same believers, Muslims. So anyone who sees that news, how come, how in the world the believing those believers in the same religion fight against each other? So what kind of religion is that? And things like that.
Now, did Japanese, I mean, question, because a lot of this stuff is coming from this side of the world. Were they smart enough not to, some like you, not to fall for the negative lies and misinformation and propaganda?
Well, of course, sure, some people should question themselves, but the unfortunately, most of them are quite happy enough within their societies, with their lifestyles. So they don't really, bother themselves to go deep into the real truths behind the scenes.
Yeah. Tell us now, Japan, this is where this sad and tragic event happened where you had two of these bombs, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This is where it happened in Japan, correct?
Yes, that's
Give
right.
us a little bit of history of this, just in a nutshell. What happened during this time, and how many people were killed, innocent people?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know about the, I mean, I don't remember about the numbers, but so many people, got killed. So naturally, I think as any non-Japanese would think about, because of those Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japanese must have been hating Americans or things like, I mean, as natural, feelings of human beings. However, very uniquely or very ironically, only, very limited people hate America. I mean, they all, most of them are following American cultures, and so you see how America succeeded in brainwashing Japanese.
Yeah, that's why I gave that example, because you see what people are, they're good at doing. It's dividing us, separating us. Islam brings us together. Like you're my brother over in Japan. We've never met, but we give each other that greeting of peace. Peace be with you. And then you come over and stay at my house, minimum of 3 days. I got to take care of you. How's that? It's the truth, right? And then
Alhamdulillah.
we've never met, but there's that bond. There's that connection right away.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So tell me, Sheikh, what was it that changed your perception about Islam. And I'm just going to make a disclaimer, because some people tuning in and they think like you did, oh, Islam, here we go, those terrorists, this, that, and the other. But Islam, obviously, as you know, is just calling the human being not to submit to money, to Jesus, to Buddha, to anything except the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one God that Jesus worshiped, that's the God that we're worshiping. So what changed your perception about Islam?
Seeing and knowing the realities of Muslim life, true Muslim life, as I was exaggerating the importance of the point which Islam do not separate between the practicing faith and daily lives activities, because all those, you know, the Buddhism which I wanted once to be a monk, and other religions, Christianity or whatever, many religions in the world, they do separate those two, right? So ever since my ego woke up and then searched for the true religion, I wanted the true religion which do not separate, which is complete way of life. So I found that in the life of Muslims, and alhamdulillah, I was lucky, fortunate enough to find some Muslim friends while I was in Australia, Melbourne, as an exchange student, yes.
Was it a hard transition now? Because at that time, you're still a Buddhist?
Yes, I was Buddhist, yes.
Did you have to...
Astonished, by listening to the sayings of the friends, how they were so confident in the truthfulness of Islam when they were talking about Islam. They were so confident, which annoyed me a lot. I mean, how can you be so sure?
That the truth gives you that confidence, doesn't it? We shouldn't make us arrogant, but proud that we're upon the truth, that this is the truth, the haq from the creator of the heavens and the earth. There's not that like in the back of your head, is it really? No, it is 100%. And that's what have you make a grave sacrifice. I mean, you're an intelligent person. I mean, you have a lot of credentials to show for it, and you got to go against a lot of odds. Like many people I've interviewed, you really have to put Islam to the test and scrutinize it, take an analytical scientific approach, which I'm sure you did before you submitted in Islam.
I'm sorry, I couldn't follow the question.
You had to make sure 100% that it was the truth, obviously. So you did your homework. You did a lot of homework. How long did it take you before you concluded that this is the truth, not man-made?
A very short time period. Just I had to, go beyond, come across the final line of acquiring the enough confidence to overcome the possible future challenges for my life. I mean, as an individual, Naoki, because I was in the position of having a very biased viewpoint against Islam, you can say like one of enemies of Islam. So I could easily, imagine how people would react to me if I were to become a Muslim. So I had an anxiety, for that.
Yeah.
So in order to come across that anxiety, I needed a week of time, but only because I could fully convince with the concepts of, what Islam teaches about the relationship of God and people and everything. So that was only the matter of coming across the barrier of, getting the confidence.
Now, besides the kind nature, the hospitality that you experienced from this family, they also did something. They didn't just stop there. They also did the dawah, not just with their behavior and character, but they gave you a gift. It was the Quran. And you were astonished because the person that gave you the Quran, he said, read this for yourself and think for yourself. Tell us about that.
Yes. So that was the beautiful approach, a beautiful way of approach to let the one who, you want to give the message to, think by themselves. Because there was another, they had a brother, who was younger, older than me. He approached to me in the way of persuasion.
Yeah.
And I did not like it.
From the same family. This is from the same family.
Yes, same
okay,
family.
Okay, mashallah.
Yes, the one who gave me the Mus'haf, the copy of the Quran, and then told me to think by yourself, that was the father of the family.
Yeah.
The past reading approach was the brother.
But that we can derive so much wisdom from there. I mean, benefit. Look, it's a father and son team, a family, like not only exhibiting the true nature of how Muslims should be kind, hospitable, right? It doesn't matter, Muslim, non-Muslim, they welcome you in their home, they took care of you, but also they did the dawah, they shared the message with you.
Mm. Yes.
And do you feel now that from there, that what he told you to do, would you advise other people right now tuning in? He said, read this book and think for yourself. Don't think like Fox News or this news station or this Islam hater wants you to think, right? Think for yourself after reading this book.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a powerful statement? And would you advise others to, I mean, just copy that, do the same thing, what he told you. Do you give often that same advice to other people?
But not straight away. After building the personal relationship, that's the very important point.
Yeah.
Not just go and knock the doors of others or the visit, I mean, of the meet people and then straight away give the books or booklets or whatever. No, I don't recommend this way.
In Japan?
At least in Japan, no.
Oh, Japan, here. We have different types here in America. You got like the bus stop dawah, 1 minute, you got something. Then you got someone, your neighbor, maybe take some time, get to know them, right? So there's different version. But how is it in Japan? You said that Japanese really like to read. Here we've lost reading. Many people...
They like to lead, but with their choices.
Yeah.
Not they don't like to read things that they were given.
Ah, okay.
So they do take them very proudly, but most probably those booklets or whatever goes into the rubbish bin, unfortunately.
Uh-huh. I often give the example because you see there is a lot of good cultural. Obviously Islam didn't come to just eradicate all the culture in a certain culture, correct? So we see things in the certain Japanese culture, and I often make this example. That now we can't, living here, push our culture on someone else. But we obviously, when you go into a Japanese culture, they don't shake hands most, right? So we continue that same thing out of respect for the women. We don't touch what we don't have the right to touch, correct? So tell us about that. You also have the taking off of shoes, which actually here, this is a normal culture, even though you got 500 some, you know, bacterias and that you just walked on the lawn, you know, the grass, and they sprayed it with, you know, chemicals, and you're bringing that stuff in the house. Come on, people. But in Japan, it's shoes off, right? And no shaking. Tell us about that.
And often the case, their foods are clean enough.
Mashallah. So this is something. What else? Tell us more about the Japanese culture, things that you can share with us.
Well,
samurai. What about the samurai? Is this the samurai?
Samurai is legend, mate. Samurai is legend. So you don't find samurai nowadays.
But you have the samurai. I teach martial arts.
So mashallah. What do you do?
I do Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
I do the Aikido. I mean,
Oh, mashallah. See now when you look, you have there, I believe jiu-jitsu is also practiced there. You have this many people know martial arts. Let's say the samurai, there's certain qualities of honor, respect, dignity. Didn't these martial arts, they had this code of ethics, this code of conduct?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah.
So is this also...
very ironically, to us people of faith, they take, you know, practicing martial arts and others as their way of life. Uh-huh. So they, you know, satisfy with it, you know, not and then don't go for searching for the, you know, farther truth.
All further, they stop there, right? I try to connect these different things, these qualities, you know, like you have this and this. Islam teaches us to have noble character, dignity, honor, respect. All of these things are there in Islam. Obviously, it's on the footing of the pure monotheism, the Tawheed.
As a nature of Japanese people, they are native religious people. Maybe many of them are not aware of that, but, you know, they are very religious. However, I mean, that's why they have a sense of, you know, being grateful to everything surrounding and everything. That's connecting them to the creator is another issue.
Mm-hmm.
So mashallah, lucky you, people of America, you have the, you know, common background of, you know, the prophets and the, you know, the one God.
Yeah, yeah.
So the distance between, you know, two is quite different.
I hear what you're saying. Tell me, you have like between 80 and 100 masjids in Japan?
Yep.
Yeah? Do they, we found that this is one of my best friends, Dr. Sabir Ahmed. He runs the Gang Peace. And I work and collaborate with him. And he says, like many others, that one of the most effective tools of dawah are the open houses. We need to open the masjids for the not yet Muslims to come. How are those from those 80 to 100 masjids? Are they open? Do they have these open houses like we're trying to get people to do more here?
Yes, yeah, some of them, very limited lamas of masjids are, mashallah, doing such open house way. And like the one, Tokyo Masjid is very, it is beautiful enough even to be a sightseeing place. So then they have a, you know, sightseeing tour and others. So they welcome all the ordinary, you know, non-Muslim Japanese people every day. And other one, the one, for example, in Okachi Masjid in Tokyo, the downtown of the Tokyo, Masjid al-Salam, also, which many times that Sheikh Hussein E visits.
Yeah.
Anyway, they have open house atmosphere. Yeah. But unfortunately, all the majority of masjids are quite, isolated or, you know, blocked within themselves. Limited within themselves.
We got a couple of minutes. They're signaling that we've got to, I'm really enjoying talking to you. I really am. Just a couple more questions. We saw you giving the shahada. Shahada is when someone finally recognizes what the purpose of life is. They testify what's in their nature, that I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and earth. And Muhammad, just like Jesus, Moses, Abraham, all the other messenger, was the last final prophet sent to mankind. We saw you giving someone the shahada, helping facilitate this in this masjid there. Do you see more Japanese waking up to this truth and coming to the true purpose of life in Japan?
Alhamdulillah, numbers of new Muslims in Japan are on a daily basis increasing. Alhamdulillah. But the challenge is, let me repeat, the follow-ups.
Yeah, we have that same issue. Yeah, follow-ups. Very, very important, right? It's easy to get the shahada, everybody comes, hugs, kiss, and then you forget about the person. Yeah, so we'd like to appoint like a guardian angel, somebody to be with that person, right? To help them learn to pray, to help them to establish the five pillars of Islam. Yeah. Sheikh, tell us, what other advice, do you recommend people to, is it easy to get a visa to come visit Japan? Could people come visit you at your masjid?
Yes, come around.
Yeah. You're in the main masjid in Tokyo, correct?
Sorry?
You're in the main masjid in Tokyo.
Not really a main masjid.
It's a Kamio Masjid. What's
Imam is the masjid of Japan Muslim Association.
It's in the center of...
In the middle of Tokyo. But the biggest masjid in Tokyo is the Tokyo Jami, which is under the Turkish government.
I see. Okay, but your masjid is called the Kamio Masjid?
No, Gotanda
Masjid.
Yes, Gotanda, yes.
Okay, Sheikh, thank you very much. Inshallah, we can continue soon, next time, maybe a part two. Inshallah.
Thank you, brother.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. So this was the Japanese imam, went from being a Buddhist at the young age of 14, was seeking the truth, and then he got to hook up with a Muslim family. And then the dawah was given to him. The truth was shared to him. He was given the gift of the Quran. I advise you, I implore you in the most sincere and humble way, if you're not yet Muslim out there, because I say not yet Muslim because everyone has the potential to submit to the creator of the heavens and earth. And that's what a Muslim is, to read the Quran. A good translation of the Quran is a living miracle. Put it to the test. It has a falsification test in there. If you believe it's from other than the Creator, find one contradiction. Do such and such and such. Memorize and preserve. It's authentic. Has not just calling you to believe in it blindly, but it has the evidences and proofs. Besides that, it tells you where you're going, when you're going to die, what you need to do to get to paradise and avoid the hellfire. Too many things to list. He did the homework. He accepted the truth. and he shared it with here with us on the Dean Show. Subscribe here if you haven't. Support us on our Patreon page as we continue to work. Thank you for tuning in here, and we'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of the Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Subscribe right now.